What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Shoot.
Whoa. Nick brought a gun to this knife fight.
Pull it out, man. Pull it back out, guys. Pulling out some old ones.
Is that an old one? I don't remember that one being your thing.
You used to say shoot all the time. It was yours.
Oh, I used to say it, yeah, but you didn't do like the whole animated, like I have a gun in my pocket.
I'm sorry. Everyone else, close your eyes. Andy, if you're going to bring back an old dumb joke, can't you evolve it a little bit? Isn't that what we have to do here?
Why Andy, I do want your, actually, I want your answer on this, Andy. Am I no longer? Like, I don't think it's like he brought it back, but in such a new way that it just didn't make sense.
Andy, you know? It didn't.
Do that.
He's evolving it more.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of consequences. It's before our eyes. You agreeing to that, Andy. Like, don't do that. Don't give him an excuse.
I don't want to give him more power. I really don't.
I like it.
He's going to bust out three guns suddenly.
Yeah.
He starts a podcast. Desk just to put up another gun.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, next week, we'll see.
Next week, you won't even fucking remember you said it.
No, of course not. I will remember that at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, 20 minutes in, I'll say shooter. You're like, I haven't heard you say that joke in a long time.
Greg, put it on your personal calendar and just bring it up next week.
No, yeah. I've done that before where I put stuff on there where it's like, make Kevin cookies or whatever, and I don't remember why. It's just like, well.
Oh, it's going to be my work anniversary. You were going to do a big thing because you've never celebrated before.
Mm. Oh, congratulations.
But it's so close to Andy's work anniversary.
Congrats.
I think it's a month beforehand. It was two months ago.
Good job, Andy. We're proud of you.
Thank you. Of course,
he's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads, ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
My therapist fucking had to, not therapist, sorry, reschedule my appointment, and I'm really sad about it.
Psychiatrist.
Like, and I feel like it's kind of revenge because I canceled my other appointment. And part of me is like, is she doing this to get back to me?
Maybe.
How dare you?
But you have to imagine it's not her. It's probably the office manager, whoever that person is. They're the ones with real power, right? They're the ones that really can control your desk. Oh, yeah.
100%. Sure.
Doctors, a lot of people don't understand this, are complete frauds. They're always pawns. They're just pawns in this game, right? It's always the front desk. Those are the ones you have to impress. And let me tell you, if you get a wrong first impression, you might as well just leave the city. Go find a whole other city to live in.
Here's a problem I run into. It's anytime I always put off this appointment because anytime I want to do it, the appointments are a month and a half, 2 months out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always seeing that. It's like, well, maybe it'll open up one day, but not right now. So I'm not going to do it right now. Well, it just so happened that there was an appointment for May 3rd. And I was like, holy shit, this is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately was canceled like 3 days later. I guess not immediately, 3 days later, 72 hours later, canceled.
Still in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, early June now. Get out of my face. Like,
you gotta treat doctor's appointments like a hair appointment, right? Where Dee always says, she's like, don't leave the barber without making your next appointment. That's what you gotta do for doctors, Andy.
Really? That's a good word of thumb.
Yeah, that's a pro shit.
Right before you walk out, be like, hey, just let me get another appointment on the books. Like,
we're going to keep skating by that one. All right, that's fine with me, I guess. Okay.
Words of thumb. I missed it.
Yeah, that was it. Word of thumb. Yeah.
What was the word I was looking for? What was the phrase?
You're thinking of the rule of thumb. That's a good rule of thumb.
Today I was on Games Daily and I was trying to say jumping through hoops, but I could not think of the word and I kept saying jumping through loopholes. And I was like, this is wrong. I know it's wrong, but I couldn't figure out what part of it was wrong. It was one of those moments, man.
That's when you just got to power through.
I powered through. I did.
Yeah. I understand. See, Andy, we moved like a year ago. And so I was like, you know what? I'll shake it up, get doctors closer to home. So I made an appointment with I was going to get a new general doctor, right? And so Jen and I made an appointment with the same doctor. This will be great. And then in the buildup to it, they called me and they were like, listen, the doctor has had a child and she has to take the child to the doctor your visit. I know, doctor, right? The kid's going to become a doctor and then have to move around for other babies.
Greg, you're the one who has to take care of it.
They're coming to you.
But they moved it and they're like, so you can't do this. And we made this months ago, right? It's hard to get a new patient appointment for a lot of places. So it's like, you know, we made it like maybe, I don't even know, 4 months ago, we'll say, maybe five, but four, we'll say, to be generous. All right. And then like 2 weeks ago, they called me like, hey, we got to move it actually. And I was like, no problem. How far? And they're like, September. And I was
like, gosh,
listen, go ahead and do it, but you know, I'm not thrilled about this. And then I've just made the, I'm just gonna go to my old doctor. I'm just gonna go
2023.
Because my old doctor's still by the studio, so it just makes sense. Eventually, this will make sense that I'm right there. Same thing with dentists. I was gonna find a new dentist. I'm like, I'll just do the old dentist by the studio, the old studio.
I think we should maybe one day interview a general doctor, because, or maybe multiple general doctors. We get like five of them. And what's up?
Pose a doctor, don't forget.
Okay, so you could be one of them. We can get
four. Come on, they're like medicine doctors.
No, I'm saying I take my Prilosec OTC, though.
Yeah, I don't want to, come on.
No, hold on. I want like five general doctors, Poe will be one, so we need four extras. And we interview them all, we all ask them the same questions, because I'd like to know at what point do they figure out like, oh, I got to push this further up the chain, up the ladder. This is out of my general sort of wheelhouse. Like, do some doctors, do they all abide by the same rules? Or is this doctor like, no, I could remove that gallbladder. Like, at what point do they say like, nope, this is out of my range. This
well,
is
that
above
sounds
my
like
paper.
Very specific. I mean, that's, you're a surgeon at that point if you're removing a gallbladder. Like, I don't think.
Yeah,
like,
but well, so what does that. A general doctor do? Like, what sort of.
Mainly, they're like, they're making sure they're like general upkeep. They're the general mechanic. And then when they find out, you know, something's wrong with the tire, they send you to the tire mechanic. I don't think that's how mechanics work either, no, but you understand. Like,
they can do tires at most mechanics.
But general doctors, I mean, they have specialties. They figure out your general doctor is there to be like, mainly to say, oh, that's not a big deal. That's 98% right. of, I'm sure, what every general doctor's job is, to look at that and go, that's just a normal mole. All right, you just poked yourself in the eye. Oh, Andy, I mean, like, again, 98% of the time, it's nothing all the time, right?
Yeah.
Go home, take an Advil, lay down.
The general doctor is just the opposite of WebMD. WebMD is like, everything's wrong.
Right.
Real doctors, nothing's wrong.
It's fine.
What about the lieutenant
doctor?
The fact
is somewhere in the middle, but one costs a lot more than the other.
That was good, Andy.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
That was real good. I'm on your side on that one.
Thank you. Captain Doctor. General Doctor.
Because you said General Doctor.
I got it, yeah.
Which is funny because Andy said General Doctor. Come back around 15 on it, times, actually. Setting it up. He just inceptioned it in one of our brains and it finally came back out just so he could use the joke, Lieutenant Doctor.
Yeah, I planted it.
I respect it. It's like bringing back something that was old. Shoot-ah.
It is.
Great show, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Off the quartet, he's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
My Tim host.
Now, Tim, as you know, I missed last week's Kind of Funny podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hit or miss on some shows here and there and stuff. So I haven't heard the story. And I apologize if it's been told or anything like that. What is the story with you adding the gold chain to the repertoire? I like it.
I got it. I like it. And I'm just sticking to it. And
okay, have you
Nick
talked about it on
talked...
a podcast? Okay.
No, haven't talked about a podcast. And Nick has not commented yet, which means to me that he respects me too much. And like, he's like, I know what's going through his head. He's like, Tim's taking this thing seriously, so I'm not going to make fun of him for it.
No.
But I also know somewhere in there you have like, just it's like the Twitter drafts. Nick just has so many fucking things he wanted to say about it. So Nick, I'll let you know. You're allowed to. You're totally allowed to.
I appreciate that. And first off, we're all in the circle of trust here. We know that jokes are jokes, and we can push them as far as we can push them. But I'll be honest with you, Tim. The reason I haven't made a comment yet about that was because I totally thought I made fun of it last week. I thought it was your Sonic one. And I was like, oh, I already gave him shit for that like 2 weeks ago. So he's already full up on the shit. Like, we'll wait for it to go down a little bit.
When the fuck has once been enough for you, huh?
I mean,
when
it's
like,
true.
All right, I hit that joke. I don't have to hit it again.
Shoot
out. That's so true.
Shoot out.
But I mean, I feel like I already railed on him for the Sonic thing because I thought that was a joke. I honestly couldn't see that it was just a gold chain that's just dangling around your wow. It is. It's actually like excessively long too, which
it is. It is. Now this is the Sonic chain, just minus the Sonic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing, is like I am in the market for chains that fit a little bit better than this. I understand this one is it's about an inch too long. Inch too long, you know?
I mean,
but
I'll
you have to watch out, Nick.
If you took a very ornate cross and put that on there, you could double as Vin Diesel from pretty much the chin down. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Cut off the sleeve.
I want to tell you, I think it's a nice accent item, and I'm glad
you're
doing it.
I appreciate it.
When I saw it in, like, I forget what show I was watching, I was like, I don't know, did I miss in the intro he was doing something about it? And then I've seen it on multiple shows. I'm like, oh, no, it's just a thing, and I like it. I got to say,
how you normalize
really
it. You don't bring it up, you know? It's just like,
so did I
saw it. I didn't want to bring it up because I think when you do, you call attention to it, and people go, oh, wait, That is weird. I don't like change.
Well, no, what it is being an attentive friend. Somebody changes their hair, their glasses. They want to see, they want to hear that that looks good. They want confidence building.
I'm like Andy's haircut right now. Looking good.
Well, I've been bringing up Tim. I mean, every time Tim wears a long sleeve, I'm like, Tim, looking great. But I think the chain would be similar to like if I got a nose piercing, right? It might be on that level of like, is Andy's got a nose piercing now? Are we about to normalize this?
Well, here's the reality with the chain, because you're bringing up something really good here, Andy, and I totally understand where you're at with this. And you, at some point, when you're with this group, you bring it up, right? We can't allow anybody to change anything without commenting on it, like first possible thing. And it's never even like think about it and come out with your best foot forward, your best compliment, your best joke. It's literally just first. What's in here? What's the first thing you can say? We'll workshop it together, right? And that's what I'm happy I have you guys as a group of friends for. But the thing with me and chains is I've always loved them. In middle school, every single day I wore a chain. It was fantastic. It was my favorite thing ever.
So did I.
Yeah. See, it was.
I was such a hip hop baller in chain.
Did you? Are you guys talking about the chains that go around your neck, or were you guys like wallet chain guys?
I was not a wallet chain guy.
I wish I had a wallet chain back in the day.
Nick, wallet chain became the sort of emo rock days of Andy, but neck chain was middle school hip hop. I'm a basketballer.
I never had an emo phase. So
what were we gonna say, Kevin?
I just haven't seen you so excited in a while. Nick, did you wear a chain? Was it a wallet chain?
No, I never got into wallet chains, but I was going to suggest that Tim subtly start adding chains every week until it gets to be too much.
Well, that's the thing is I want the dual chain situation because I was always scared to do it. I was always like, I can't commit to that. I don't have it. I don't have the stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? Where you just layer the chains.
Yeah.
But I was like, I want to do that. And the thing is, and then in high school, it was like late high school and then the college days, I like lost my confidence. And I'm like, I don't even think I can wear this chain these days. I have to retire it. So I retired the chain. And now I realized I'm a grown ass man. I can do whatever the fuck I want. If I'm going to wear a chain, Nick's going to make fun of me. That's okay. It's okay. I respect
forget
Nick
about it
for making fun of me. It is what it is. No, but it's just like, I think it's dope. I should be looking dope all the time. You know what I mean? So here I am.
You look dope. Best. This is a good look. I don't care what Nick says.
I haven't said one derogatory theme toward it. Second off, we know this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I'll forget about it, say something hilarious next week, and then you guys will make fun of me for already having made fun of it, and then it'll be a double dunk. It'll be
Tim,
a double dunk.
Oh, the double dunk. I do
Tim,
like
do you remember dude. When... I was wearing my glasses on an episode of KFAF when we were still in the studio, and then a solid 7 months later, Nick said, Andy, when did you start wearing glasses?
It's gonna be nice.
Very, very impressive stuff.
I know, I'm not one for paying attention to detail when it comes to working with you all.
That's the thing though, and it's true, and it works in different ways, right? But Nick and just Nick knows my body.
Nick just said, I'm not one for details. And this is the man that runs our payroll, our healthcare, and is planning the new studio, by the way. Back to you.
You're supposed to get paid by Friday.
You just guess sometimes, Nick.
He knows your body intimately.
Yeah, if I change anything, if I wear a new shirt, Nick will be the first person to notice. Will he say
anything? The tie-dye shirt.
But the tie-dye shirt was for you, Greg. That was special for you.
Thank you.
But I knew Nick would appreciate it as well. I mean, I will say there has not been a single clothing item or accessory or anything that I've bought in the last legitimately 5 years, but probably pushing up towards a decade, that one of my thoughts weren't, what's Nick going to say about this?
Wow. Wow. I don't know if that's a positive thing. I think maybe I should work on that.
I don't think it's a negative thing though. Okay. I think that you have good taste and stuff, and I think you're a good barometer of bullshit.
Is this ridiculous? Is this over the top? Yeah.
Because I know look, guys, I know it's over the top. Like I understand that. You know what I mean? That was my whole thing. No. Yeah.
The chain is not over the top. The chain is a very
chain's over the top.
No. It is not over the top. That is I'm going to start a poll here for the frogs. Hold on.
100%. Tim, move the mic.
Over the top.
I mean,
I want you, Andy, put out a Twitter poll. Right, take a picture size of Tim right now and ask him if it's over the top. Because
we don't need to. The community's doing it. The community's here. The trogs are doing it on patreon.com/kind of
funny. That's the thumbnail right there. Let's get him full screen. Let's get is the chain over the top?
I think the chain is a great addition. Tim is a very interesting person in the way that, I think I've told the story before. In college a long time ago, a friend was doing one of those stupid, personality quizzes with a crush or whatever, or, some stupid AIM quiz. I forget what it was. And they were, they have some question about Greg Miller, and the crush responded because she knew me well, and she was just like, you can always guarantee that he's wearing a screen printed t-shirt, jeans, and a Converse. And that is so, I still to this day am that person, right? And so I appreciate that Tim is that way, where it's like, I've never seen someone rock a black solid t-shirt more than I've seen Tim do that with the MeUndies shirts. And so it's always, you know, we talk about the tie-dye shirt, for it's still a special treat when he wears a t-shirt that has something on it, which I know sounds ridiculous because he's got the great Britney Spears t-shirt and stuff. But still, if I was a betting man, my life depended, I'm going to tell you, he's in a plain t-shirt or not, this long sleeve thing. And so I think that the chain is a perfect accent to that, because it's just filling in that negative space there.
I don't disagree, but I feel like part of what I bring to the role, bring to this company as a person in it, is aside from the fact that I take care of the finances and pay attention, is that I kind of play the role of big brother sometimes, right? And by that, I mean, I play the role of how much do you want this thing? How badly do you want to add this to your repertoire? This?
Yeah. here's the thing, Nick, you're right. I understand the relationship. And that's why I've put my foot down with the chain. And I'm like, I'm wearing the chain. I'm going to do it. I've been doing it. And I was surprised that it took this long for you to come in swinging. But, you know, again, I appreciate the swings, because that's what big brothers do.
Yeah. And again, in most, you know, I have a big brother and he's not always right. And I push back, and then he eventually relents. And then I go, yeah, I really wanted that thing. But there have been multiple times in the 40 some odd years I've been on this planet that my brother's been like, you're doing that, huh? And I'm like, not anymore. That's not happening anymore. And that's what
Cameron
Kennedy
for. Cameron Kennedy in the chat says, this specific chain is like 15% past its optimal point, but not over the top. And I completely agree with that. I understand that this is too long. I want everyone to get that. I understand that. I'm remedying it. This was a cheap one I got on Amazon. It's a whole situation, and it's better than the one that was way too short for me that was like a choker.
That's hot. Yeah.
That was so, two in between these for it to really sell.
I love it, and the chat does too. 79% of the poll says the chain is not over the top.
Thank you.
I want to say, I use Tim, it's a two-way street, because I use you in the same capacity, right? You're my guy when it comes to shoes. I'll bounce shoes off you, and you'd be like, don't get those. Those are dumb. The kids are going to make fun of you. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thank you. Then I know I walk out of the room, and you and Kevin just laugh at me, because the kids are going to make fun of me no matter what. But
remember,
I appreciate
when you almost got that stupid TV, and Tim made sure you got the cool
stupid
TV.
And Tim made me put it in my Honda and take it back to Best Buy. Because he was like, don't get that TV, it's stupid. It was an $800 Panasonic, and it drove me nuts because the bezel was straight and beveled a little bit, and it had a reflection of everything around it. So there was like just a little, Andy, like a 1 or 2 point white line always around the image. It was so fucking annoying that I was like, I got to take this TV.
Is this the Smash Brothers TV? Is that what them?
This,
no, that's the one we gave to Joey.
That was the newer Panasonic, I think, was the Smash Bros. TV. And what killed me is I had that adapter the entire time. I just chose not to use. I just didn't know I needed it.
Sure, sure. Fair enough. TV.
What's that?
The Smash Bros. TV broke.
We're talking about different TVs.
Oh, I was going to say, wait, did I break the Smash Bros. TV?
No.
Wait, you're talking about the one from the studio or the one that used to be my house? He's talking about the one where I
you guys, you had a party. Yeah,
Smash Bros. We had to play on my 32-inch Sharp Aquos. Because I couldn't figure out how to hook it up to my plasma.
We bought a TV for the studio.
Yeah.
For us to play Smash Bros. At.
Oh, did it break?
Well, we never used it, and eventually we're like, oh, let's
didn't
go.
Didn't we regift that or rehouse that with one of?
Yeah, well,
else?
It was gonna go to Joey.
Yeah.
And it didn't make the transportation.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was very sad. This is,
what happened to it? Did it just get smashed to the back of a car?
I mean, we're not entirely sure. I think maybe one of us.
We don't know. Guys, listen. We're still an autopsy on this thing. We don't know.
No one knows for sure, but it looks like the LED panel or the LCD panel cracked at some point.
This is why I get so nervous moving shit, because I'm like specifically TVs. I'm like, one little thing goes wrong, and it's I know.
Not careful enough, though, you know? Did you put it in Ranger Danger? Is that what happened?
No, it was in the other car. It was an
antique
one.
Okay.
Nick.
What?
I've just seen this. Slacky sent me.
Oh, man. There we go.
He just
earlier when I said that it's like it's never the first one, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, what do we got here? This one's like a
it's so annoying. I'm sending it to Acid. Like, he just sent me this photo. He said, Tim in 3 weeks.
Yep, I knew it. I fucking God damn it.
It's a picture, Kevin, folks, audio listeners, a picture of Mr. T with about 90,000 chains around his neck.
I love it, man. I love it, dude. No, because the thing is, I got bored of my shit at some point where I'm like, I've perfected it. You get the black bomber jacket or the black MeUndies shirt, right? Just like black jeans, whatever jeans.
Then burnt orange bomber jacket.
Bomber jacket and Jordans. The colors all just switch, right? But it's like I need some extra shit that I can have a little more
spice
fun
it up.
Hell yeah, dude. Yeah. Hell yeah.
So that's we're going chains, baby.
Tim, I appreciate you throwing me the compliment about my haircut. However, it's not a good haircut. It's my first haircut with my new pair of clippers.
Oh no.
And I still gotta work out the kinks because I just don't fully understand the way that it works. Like, it's like a really nice professional. The whole time I'd been using a little tiny beard trimmer to cut my hair. And this, I got a Wahl, like the brand Wahl, W-A-H-L, what, like Wahlburgers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the burger place, Wahlburgers. And it's like the big wide shears. But all the attachments are different sizes that I'm not used to. And I immediately went on the side and it was just like way too short. I was like, ooh, this is going to be a tough fade job. And yeah, it just didn't work out. It's like uneven. There's a lot of unevenness. It just could be better. We got to work on it. We got to work on some of the issues. But I'm still.
It looks camera good, though, which arguably is the most important thing for your life. Because you're whatever happened with your fade.
But even rotate your head. Let me see. Like, see, it still looks good. Like, you're a thumbnail. Yeah. Right? Like, you're so small. I have to enlarge it.
Now, see,
and I have to get close.
I like the dramaticness of the almost step to that cut. That's what I like, because your hair is dramatic anyway, so you can do whatever you want to it, and it's still gonna work.
Like when I go in like wall, right? And you have maximum wall right now, and I think it's because how high your fade is going right now, it allows your hair to speak for itself, and it's saying really nice things.
It's loud. It's yelling.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying hello.
I want to definitely perfect it and try to get better at it, but it was a scary weekend of like, I don't, this is a different tool set.
this is something that people only with beards can understand, right? Is that one moment where balance. You're trimming the beard and you cut it just a little too low on one side, and then you start and you get the cold, like, all the energy goes out of your hands,
your body goes
you get
hot.
Nervous, and you go, and it just like a chill goes up your spine. You're like, I don't, where do I go? Do I just let it be, let it ride and hope no one notices, or do I keep trimming until there's no beard left?
Nick, and that's when the I lived you got, in Austin,
it's cowardly.
They always notice, you know what I mean?
When I lived you in Austin, do. Austin once I had the oh, I had my razor jackals. I had my razor on a zero, right? No attachment.
Yeah.
And I forgot
it?
That it didn't have the attachment.
Oh.
And it was one of I was at the time using four on the side and fading up. And then I kind of like went to my beard and kind of took off the attachment. I was like, oh, let me go back into the hair.
Without
the attachment, I was like, oh, I like fucking got so scared, dude. And so I had to like, all right, here's another hour. We got I'm in here for another hour minimum right now. Yeah. Nightmare. Absolute fucking nightmare.
Yeah, as I go up all the time trying to make it, you know, the neck good. You know what I mean? Come up higher on the neck. Because I remember Nick had encouraged me to come up higher on the neck of the beard. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? But I know that eventually, and I don't know where, but I've seen it on plenty of other heavy set guys like myself. You can do that thing where you go too high and suddenly it doesn't hide the fact that you have like 15 chains. It like, boom, it accentuates. Like, it looks like a female cat that got spayed. You know what I mean? How they always have that fucking bag thing hanging there. It's like that. You got to be careful. And so I go up very slowly because I don't want to look like a spayed female cat. You know what I mean?
I understand completely.
Also, I know it's redundant to the spayed new female cat. Just shut up and roll the joke, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wait, don't you? Do you neuter females?
You neuter. No, you neuter a male. You spay a female.
Right.
Yeah.
So spayed is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's redundant. You spayed a cat, you know, you spayed a female cat, you know?
Right.
Oh.
I mean, if you're smart, but let's be honest.
I'm trying to save. Right now, you know, there's so many people out there, delivery drivers, nuns, sex ed workers, just like driving this car. Listen, they don't have time.
They all walk into a bar.
Sex ed workers.
Yeah. Did you, they don't have time. Okay. You know what, Nick? It's time for me to remind you this is the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can write in. You can be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the post show we do each and every week. And you can be watching live in the chat on patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Madeline Stanley is, Louise Aguiar is, and Joshy GR. If you're watching, chat it up in there, and then sometimes you look over there and we pull it in and we go, yeah, like Melissa Hagler, who says Trog Town, woo. Remember Melissa Hagler and her husband Cody Hagler, I did a thing where I was like, remember when you go to bed, I'm on the corner of your bed, and I haven't heard a report if it's worked, because I want them to envision me on the corner of their bed. Has that happened? Like a gargoyle, you remember this, Andy?
Shoot, yeah, what was the intended outcome of that supposed to be?
Scare them a little bit, mm-hmm. Keep them away from touching each other, because when they started to get, you know, they even, I don't mean sexually, I don't mean just like snuggly. You're trying to go to bed. Here's the thing.
Everybody,
as you all know from stories about me, you know, and like tall tales, you might say.
I knew they're all tall tales. I knew it. I knew it.
Sometimes when I lay down to go to sleep, I get the gigs. I start giggling, and then I try to stuff down the gigs, and they just come louder. And I just have to sit there and giggle myself to sleep. Really annoying my wife. I'd like to pass that on to Cody and Melissa. I'd like one of them to be drifted off peacefully and the others to start giggling because they see little Gargoyle Greg down there.
Makes sense.
Because again, I'm not full size.
Oh. Kevin,
I want to be like, I don't, I.
What size
how,
scale?
How
what
big miniature? Are you?
And here's where I want to go. Yeah. We're in the Tree of Trust, right? We can all be friends here. When I go to the store, when I go to my collectible shop and I see, you know, the Ecto-1, but they're like, oh, it's 1/16th the scale. I don't know what the fuck that means. And I don't know how people can look at that and be like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Because I've never looked at an object and be like, I'd like this to be 1/16th that set. You know what I mean? Like,
I think what it means, Greg, is like if you multiply this thing by 16 times.
But who the fuck is doing that? Who is looking at mini Ecto-1s going, yeah, that's 1/16th?
Well, you look at me. I'm 6'2", right? Mm-hmm. And if you make a miniature scale that's 1/6th the size, then it's like a foot-ish tall.
No, I'm just feeling. I feel like we all know what a loaf of bread is. Let's start using that as a unit of measurement, all right? But half a loaf of bread. Here's an Ecto-1. It's half a loaf of bread size. I'm like, fuck, I understand that. Thank you.
The whole point of that, having that 1/6 scale or 1/16 scale, is then you go and you buy something else, like your Fortress of Solitude that's also 1/16 scale.
Yeah.
And you put them right next to each other, and you're like, fuck, these are the actual sizes and how they compare to each other.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what that was for. I thought it was just for...
Yeah,
I thought I was like, oh, this will fit on my shelf if it's
like that would be hard to do. So are you doing 1/16th scale of the inside of the Fortress of Solitude?
No, for every the outside. The, you know, the thing that remember in Rocky.
I'm just getting one big old ice planet.
Yeah, he throws it. He throws it, and
I remember. Yeah, the crystals and all that shit. Thing.
They sell that. Yeah. That's a thing. Badass.
Probably. I mean, they sell everything. Sideshow collectible. They'll get your money. You know, you just wait long enough, they'll make what you want. You're like, man, I really wish I had Dumbledore's shoe. They're like, wait, just give him 5 minutes. I'll get there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Here's the teeth from Mary Catherine Gallagher and Superstar.
Wow. Wow. What recesses did you pull that from?
I don't know. That's literally Dumbledore. Sure. And sure. I literally went, I need another one.
Oh, God.
I think I just watched the episode she was on in Seinfeld. Because she guessed that.
Oh, where she does the arms? Where she
with the arms?
Yeah.
She's great. She's so great funny. Episode.
You somehow said all three names in all wheeze.
Oh man, I tell you what, I just scare myself. You know what I mean? Really now, Josh G says there was also a 1-to-1 scale gremlin at my comic book store with the 1-to-1 Slimer. That's fascinating. How much was the Slimer?
Do you need to say it's a 1-to-1 scale if it's just 1-to-1
life size? Right?
Yeah. That's just life size at that point, right?
No, you still have to say it.
You still have to say it.
Yeah, for context.
I disagree.
Just in case, because if it's like 2-to-1, you're like, how big is the Slimer?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Because Nick, I know you've never seen a 1-to-1 Slimer, but they're big.
I've never seen one.
I know.
You got an ass too.
How big are they compared to me and Andy?
It's about between us?
Half size of Andy.
Yeah, maybe a half. Maybe a third. Maybe 2/3.
3.5
feet. No,
again, though, like we're all talking in things. Like, right, if I told you it was tall as probably 3.5 loaves of bread. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sandwich bread here. Don't try to get fancy with your baguettes. I'm talking about like I got a Wonder Bread here, you know?
The thing is, Kevin is just doing a really bad job of like saying it, but what it means is everything has to be to scale of the original thing. So the 116 matters because the Ecto-1, all the parts on the Ecto-1 need to be 1/16 the size of what they normally should be, so that everything looks perfectly. But then there, you also can get the same ratio of scale, so that the things can work together and be next to each other, and to scale work the same way.
I want you to know that you just did a bad job. All right, I did a fine job.
You didn't, but it's cool.
No, it's not cool, Tim. I did a fine job.
I put it in terms of G.I. Joe.
Okay. Here we go. Mm-hmm. When? Which one? So,
exactly. Exactly, Greg. Now we've cut to the real matter of it, right? The original G.I. Joe was like 18 feet tall. Remember those things are like this big? And kids would play with them and they just look fucking stupid. You would just look stupid playing with this thing the same size as them. And then
I'm prepared. Whenever Ben starts playing with toys, if they look dumb, I'm literally just going to punt it into the creek. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to have a part of it.
Yeah.
All right. You got to learn, kid.
Punt it, but make sure. Family down the stream. Like, where's all these toys coming from?
Every year, it's like right around his birthday and right around Christmas, there's just this influx of shit toys coming down the river.
Hey, we found all these toys. Are these yours? Like, no, those aren't ours. And Ben's like, oh, those are my toys. And they have this name written on the foot.
I like roll up the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were all. I'm trying to remember what the length was for the G.I. Joe toys that we all grew. At least you,
four inch.
You had, was it four
the
inch?
The Star Wars were like 4 inch. I don't know the G.I. Joes with the rubber band stuff. I don't know about that. But then we grew up with 6 inch, which is the superior action figure.
Those are
size.
Too big.
Hell yeah.
No, that's too big.
No.
Now here's like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the 6 inches.
They were big.
That's great. So I'll give you the points of articulation because you did have us beat on that, except for I think G.I. Joe's had the same amount of points of articulation.
No,
but I'll just say
count. Those rubber bands are a joke.
You take that toy out in public, those 6-inch toys, and everyone knows you're compensating for something, right? You haven't had your pubes yet. You don't have your pubes yet. So you got to get these 6 inches and you got to get them out there. Like, oh, look at my big toy. Look at my big toy. Meanwhile, the rest of us are like, hit it at 12. I'm cool with 4 inches.
If you got $9 toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you of course can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast services around the globe, and roosterteeth.com, where we post the show each and every week for free.
I don't like when people in the chat just put my name, right? I understand how you're saying that. I get it. People just say Nick.
Yeah. Then Drewtendo 64 says Nick in all caps. So
Yeah. There it is right there.
That's some housekeeping for you. We just did today KFW, Kinda Funny Wrestling, April Anarchy, our first pay-per-view. It was a huge success. It'll be up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames when this episode posts. Please go watch it. Even if you're like just a podcast listener, you don't use the YouTube stuff or whatever. We put a lot of work into this, had a lot of different video packages, had Matt Batson editing stuff, had me editing stuff, had an original song made, a whole bunch. We had promos from Khalif, Joey, you name it. There's a bunch of content going in there, and Andy made a bunch of stuff too. So go over there, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, give it a click, or one day it'll just be podcasts, and then we'll see what you fucking think. You know what I mean?
I saw a lot of people in the comments saying, like, this is the best thing that Kinda Funny has done. And what really excites me about it is that I think it brings in, I think when we talk about the Kinda Funny audience, right, there are definitely a lot of Venn diagrams of what interests people have. But a lot of time, if I talk sports, a lot of people are tuning out. If we talk about wrestling, we have a lot of wrestling fans in the Kinda Funny audience, but there's still a lot of the people that will tune out because they don't care.
For sure.
And I think that this is kind of merging a lot of those fan bases to make those people care about wrestling. And I know of several people that watch it are like, man, I haven't cared about wrestling in ages, and this is just so entertaining. And today's event was particularly fun. Like, some of the way you and Mike are reacting, I'm laughing my fucking head off because of certain things that are happening in the match. It was just a lot of fun to be there hanging out with everybody, and it's really exciting for how we're going to keep on amping up the quality of this shit.
So you head on over youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, get April Anarchy on the KFW playlist. If you didn't know, Nick knows every martial art. You can pick up the brand new t-shirt, kindoffunny.com/store. Sensei Scarpino's dojo. It's up there. Nick, have you seen these? Have people been wearing these to jujitsu lately? Have they been wearing them to the comic or the comedy shops with you and all that jazz?
No, I have yet to see one in the wild right now, but okay. You could be the first. You can go over to the store and grab yourself one. And if you see me, give me a good old ki-ai.
Here are our Patreon producers, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twinning, Gordon McGuire, James Davis, a.k.a. at James Davis Makes, Fargo Brady, Pranksy, and Anonymous. Today, we're brought to you by Brother Printers, Lumen Scan, and Razor. And hey, I'll tell you about them right now. All right, guys, let's chat skincare. If your skincare routine is basically you washing your face in the shower with that one shower gel that you've been using since high school, then it's time to level up your skincare game. Because as it turns out, that regular body wash you've been using that you thought was good enough is probably damaging your skin. But thanks to Lumen, you can drop that bottle of 3-in-1 and start using products that actually take care of your skin. With Lumen, you get the highest quality products. All their products aim to help with those stubborn acne scars, under eye circles, wrinkles, sun damage, dry skin, oily skin, you name it, it's all there. Starting with Lumen is easy. All you have to do is take a 2-minute quiz on their website and they'll tell you exactly which routine is best for your skincare needs. Gia's been using the charcoal face wash and charcoal face scrub and she feels so fresh afterward. She has dry skin, so especially during the winter, it's nice to have that hydration and exfoliation. Also, she's a big fan of the really subtle citrus smell. Level up your skincare game with Lumen Skin today. Go to lumenskin.com/kindoffunny to get your free trial of Lumen's products. That's lumenskin.com/kindoffunny for a free trial. lumenskin.com/kindoffunny. Hey, computer people, announced at CES and available now, the latest generation of Razer Blades feature all new NVIDIA GeForce RTX 30 series GPUs and up to an RTX 3080 Ti featuring a suite of cutting-edge features to improve gameplay, including NVIDIA Reflex. NVIDIA Reflex delivers the ultimate competitive advantage, the lowest latency, the best responsiveness. Get the competitive edge you need at sub 25 milliseconds. And I asked the one, the only, the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez, is that good? And he said, ooh-wee, sub 25 milliseconds is great. And I said, that's fantastic. Acquire targets faster, react quicker, and increase aim precision in the most competitive games such as Apex Legends, Fortnite, Call of Duty, and more. Learn more about the Razer Blades powered by NVIDIA GPUs with NVIDIA Reflex technology at Razer.com. When I needed a printer, I turned to Twitter, and so many of you told me Brother was the way to go. For more than a year now, Jen and I have been using our Brother printer for immigration paperwork, baby paperwork, and a million other things. It's been great, but you know what printers need? Ink. And while it used to be a hassle to get ink, Brother's Refresh Easy print subscription has made it easy. The Brother Refresh Easy print subscription service is a printing plan that is based on the number of pages you print. You choose a monthly plan based on your print volume needs, color, black and white, and all print for one monthly cost. And instead of having to remember to buy replacement ink cartridges, your printer does the work for you through an intelligent ink and toner level monitoring feature that tracks the remaining amount of ink or toner and orders it before you run out. The Brother Refresh Easy print subscription service is a convenient, worry-free way to print. Each plan is flexible, and you can change or cancel your subscription anytime. So what are you waiting for? Stop running out of ink when you need it most and put your printer to work with the Brother Refresh Easy print subscription service by signing up at brother-usa.com/printwithrefresh. Again, that's brother-usa.com/printwithrefresh to sign up for the Brother Refresh Easy print subscription service and stop worrying about your ink levels. All right, we're back, everybody. We're back. Madeline, a.k.a. Matt Exposure, writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, says this. Andy, clear your head. We're going to you first, all right?
Oh, shit.
Sorry, buddy. What fictional TV parents do you wish could be your parents for the day? Go.
This is way too hard.
Nick, fictional TV parents, who would you go?
Oh, the parents from Small Wonder, man. Anything goes in that fucking house.
God damn it. Ted, what was his wife? God damn.
We hit our quota.
But I'm bringing home a fucking six-pack of Natty Ice when I'm 14. You think that's going to be the weirdest fucking thing that dad's seen that day? No, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, go drink that in the basement, kid. Joan? I'm making us another daughter.
Yeah, okay. And Jesus.
Because all say TV, and I think the obvious kind of area you want to lean towards is like family sitcom type stuff.
I mean, it's whatever you want it to be. You want to go live in the Breaking Bad house. We're not going to stop you.
Okay.
That's not Tim.
I mean, I'm with Andy that like your gut goes to the Boy Meets World parents because they are just 10 out of 10 parents. Yeah. Any way you want to look at it.
They're 10 out of 10 humans. All right. Mm-hmm. I feel like their weakness, they shine through a lot, which is part of their appeal. You know what I mean?
I mean, well, that's how that's what perfect looks like when it comes to parenting, Greg. You got to roll with the punches sometimes.
I know more about it than you do. You know what I mean? Like, but I said, picking toys out of hands left and right over.
Well, that's why I want to go with the superior answer, which is Splinter from the Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
raise those kids, right?
Wow.
So yeah.
I mean, he learned kung fu just by watching.
Mm-hmm. Jesus
Christ. Just, he just watched somebody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he practiced. He just did what he saw.
Very well.
I mean, let's put it. I'll say this. I'll say this. Last thing we'll say on the subject. It's possible that right up until the 80s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, that particular Splinter had never actually fought another human being. He just punched the air for a little while.
Sounds familiar.
That's all I'm saying.
Just observed.
I mean, like, real quick, if we can set the joke aside for a second, it is worth pointing out, remember, of course, Podcast Beyond's, I'm sorry, I've had a long day of talking.
Holy fuck.
Podcast Beyond's own Ryan Clements, remember, mm-hmm. didn't know how to rollerblade, and then he dreamed he could rollerblade, and he woke up and he could rollerblade. that's a real story from Clements. That's a real story. If I'm lying,
it's also possible,
Andy,
that rollerblading is not that hard to pick up. Whereas,
okay, don't be insulting.
Self-defense, right. Being able to beat another trained fighter actually takes a lot of time. But you can just watch. You can watch YouTube videos and figure it out.
I mean, he's a 40-year-old rat who's been training against sticks forever, fighting a bunch of kids who got, you know, they just want to be the Foot Clan. What do? They snatch bells off of things. You know what I mean? They're not, yeah. It's not like the Foot Clan just grew too fast. That was its problem. They let down the quality of people they were letting in.
That was the problem. Uh-huh. That was
the
problem.
You know what I mean? They didn't even care because, of course, they got these mutant turtles coming out of the goddamn. Like, in a lot of regards, the Foot Clan might be heroes. You know what I mean?
That's fair, depending on how you look at it.
Monsters coming out of the goddamn toilets. Like, all right, get these 14-year-olds in here, pick the bells off this thing, and then we got to learn to just fucking fight and throw shit because you don't know what's coming out tomorrow, bro.
The turtles. You seen this rat?
Alligators tomorrow. Nobody knows. I heard there's a giant rat down there.
I love when they tie Splinter up and everyone's like, ew, that's a gross big rat, but nobody freaks out about it at all. It's a weird ass movie. I love it.
That's a weird ass movie. Yo, we're 2 days away from Ninja Turtles, like the story just being over forever. Like 2 years ago, the last Ronin, the comic series, 5 issues to like, it's like the end of the story. And it's one remaining turtle. The other three are dead. And Splinter's dead. And it's the story of like how that all happened and like what's going on. And the final stand is the last Ronin. And it's the reunion of the original creators of Ninja Turtles, who have had a lot of drama over the decades. And they haven't done anything together until this. And in classic comics fashion, it was supposed to be monthly. That didn't fucking happen. But issue 5 comes out on Greg's birthday, April 27th.
Thank you.
Moose's birthday. Very excited about all this. It's going to be a big day for me. Killer fucking comic, man.
Tell you who my parents would be.
Here we go, Andy. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Wanda and Vision.
Mm.
Oh,
wow.
Wow. Because I got to have a hot mom.
Oh, here we go.
Which is cool.
Perfect.
I'd have a dad who sometimes exists, kind of doesn't exist, super hot, yeah. And he
sometimes
always goes
white.
He always goes Wanda, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one I've been working on.
The multiverse.
Very limited.
Are we going to see Vision in Multiverse of Madness? There.
It seems like
I doubt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Andy, you say it seems like it.
He was on some show recently. And he was
They tried to pin him down. That's what brought it up to me because I haven't thought about it because I just hadn't thought much about Doctor Strange because Thor's coming. That looks fun. But like, you know, yeah, he said, and I was like, oh, that would make sense. Wanda's going to be there. She's trying to go through the multiverse to find her children. We're assuming, right? Like,
right, right.
I can see
Wanda. Yeah. Well, I've what a show. Good Lord, what a
That's
show.
Good point.
I'm going to
pick them because they would have, and also I might have superpowers too, Greg, like the way her little boys had superpowers.
You probably wouldn't, though, in this particular instance.
Yeah, what fictional parents do you want, TV parents, do you want to be your parents for the day? I don't know if that gives you powers for a day. And here's the other question, Andy. I'll flip it on its head for you, too. If you could have superpowers for the day, would you want that? Because then you're going to go the rest of your life, like, I could fly, I could do this, and then but I can only do it for one day.
Only for one day?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay.
I would figure out ways to, like, you know, monetize it, sure.
Yeah, for the one day. You'd film, like, 30, 40 videos in one day.
Yeah.
And then lie to everyone for the rest of
your life. I would vlog the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd put that shit on YouTube and I would rake in the dollars.
I kind of also want to point out that if you're mom and dad are Wanda and Vision in that particular show.
Hot mom, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and no doubt. But mm-hmm. also, she's sort of torturing the entire town. So would you be aware of the fact that you're...
You forgive and forget.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this is that thing where if I'm... And Madeline, you're in the live chat, I know, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I would say that they're coming to our world to be parents for the day. And so then at that point, yeah, Wanda might torture all of San Francisco or whatever. I forget how many miles it was around Andy's where Andy lives. But like, Andy would also know it's for a day. You know what I mean? Like, okay, wow, Barrett has to act like, you know, he works at an office building for a day, or he's the milkman, right? He'll deal with it. He'll be all right. He'll bounce back. He'll start playing the show tomorrow. No big deal.
See, the premise of this entire thing, though, is interesting when we really think about the fact that we are 30 plus year old men at this point. So getting new parents for a day is very different than just the concept of getting parents for a day. You know what I mean?
Like getting friends.
It's like, it's either it's friends, but it's also like, great. Now you have responsibilities. You have to pick where we're going to dinner. You have to like do all this stuff. I don't think this is like as fun as it would be to be an 8 year old choosing new parents for the day. You know,
well, I think
Master Splinter having to hang out with him now, that's an inconvenience at best. Weird.
Okay, but
oh my god, fuck off! You wouldn't want to hang out with Master Splinter right now, podcast with him, and get a beer, just talk, shoot the shit. Ask these questions. For the record, giant rat, did you ever fight a human person before you?
Don't fucking ask him. You ask with your hands. You walk right up to him. Just fucking ping one off of his forehead. See if you can block it.
When I hear this question, though, Greg,
yeah,
my immediate thought is that I am their canonical children in whatever show that that exists. So, like, I'm not 30 years old in that show. I'm a 10-year-old kid with a smoking hot mom.
Well, Madeline Stanley in the chat did say, yes, that's what I was envisioning, Greg. So my interpretation was the interpretation now, she had.
What's funny is
our world.
I interpreted that until Andy answered his, and then I interpreted Andy's answer as Andy being the 30-something year old person he is just hanging out with Elizabeth Olsen.
And then we have the same birthday, by the way.
Do you really?
Same year and all?
Kismet.
I don't know if it was the same year. Let me double check. I think I'm a year older than her. Elizabeth Olsen.
So you're going to be a year older than your mom.
Born. Let's see. We were both born on February 16. I'm 1 year older. To the day, yeah, 1 year old.
Wow.
Yeah, meant to be, some people say.
Is it weird when you think about that, though? Because, like, I'll see people who are my age that are, like, mega celebrities. Does that ever make you think, like, wow, I'm still a child compared to what they've accomplished with their life?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the bigger thing. Yeah, it's like, it's not, I never feel like, oh, man, I haven't accomplished anything. It's just when I see a successful adult, you just assume they're older than you. Always. You know what I mean? And then it's like revealed, like, especially, you know, Andy and me watch a sport or whatever.
Jesus Christ. And this fucking, like, you know, chain. This chain, he walked from the back wall all the way to the front, and the chain was somehow just dominating the entire frame the entire time. Sorry. I apologize, Greg.
The camera had trouble like dealing with the ISO.
It just flashed out for like 14 seconds. No, Greg, that's 100%. That's 100% what it is. That's a better way of phrasing. I don't mean to say we haven't accomplished stuff. It's just when I see someone who's like I feel like Britney Spears, for instance, right?
Sure.
I don't know why she just came to mind. I think I just read an article about her or something earlier this morning. But like, I always just thought, oh, this is a person who's very, very accomplished. She must be like older than me. And I think she's either my age or younger than I am, right?
Oh, she's
way younger. I think, no.
I don't know. Let's see. Britney Spears, ladies and gentlemen, is, drumroll please, 40 years old. Yeah, December 2nd, 81.
Younger. Yeah, I wish I could pull the analog. There was a better example. I was thinking of someone that was a kid. Oh, it was the Jurassic Park kids. That's what I was thinking of, right? I don't think you were on that episode, Greg, but the first one, I was like, how old are these fucking kids? They were so annoying to me when I was watching this movie. They were my age. They were all born in like 80. So they're the exact same age as me. Like, that's so fucking weird.
It makes me feel really uncomfortable.
As uncomfortable as like being like, you kept saying how hot your mom is?
Well, that's for day. Actually, at this point, I don't think that she would be his mom. I think Andy would be her
mom.
Daddy.
Interesting. You go through that portal, you don't know what's gonna happen. Okay. I would pick Jonathan and Martha Kent from Smallville, of course. Annette O'Toole, John Schneider. Great, great TV parents.
Is and that because if, you if just want to be Superman?
No, no, no. I just think the Kents are great role models and good people. I'd like to talk to them a bit. And if that was too much, if that's too on the nose, the second one would be, of course, the Winslows from Family Matters. Yes,
they were great. Nick, what was your question? They were great, too. I was going to say, where, how far down do you have to go before you get to the parents from Alf?
Oh, my God. Like, Alf's,
the parents that I'm let their child hang out with an alien being.
The Alf dad, like, and this is not the actor, this is very much the character. What a sniveling little fucking toad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't got time to deal with you. Alf. You know what I mean? Like, no, we don't, like, fucking embrace it. Either you let the alien live there and that's going to be fucking chill and he almost eats the cat and he talks about Melmac or whatever, or you fucking turn him in. You know what I mean? Like, make up your mind on how you want it to be. It's not every fucking episode has to be this giant problem.
Exactly. Oh man, this is really sad. I googled Alf dad and there's a photo of him looking really rough. Like,
he's got, he has to have passed away by now.
Like, yeah, apparently like 25 years after the sitcom ended.
All right.
It's just rough.
Kennedy in the chat says, what decade is Alf from? Come on, Cameron Kennedy. What do you think it's from?
The 80s?
Yeah.
I was definitely like too young for Alf. That was before my time.
But what about syndication? Didn't syndication help you at all though?
Mm-mm. No. Yeah.
See, that's the big thing. A lot of these shows I remember so well and know so much, my encyclopedia knowledge of them, is because, you know, I'm sitting at Grandma Miller's being babysat. We just got Fox 32 on. It's running the Victory Auto Records commercial. I'm watching some Judge Wapner. I'm getting a lot of Alf. I'm getting a lot of Cosby Show. This is back before SNL sold their soul to go to VH1 or whatever. So I'm getting every SNL ever on Comedy Central. I'm just fucking watching stuff way too young, but I know it all. It's a golden age to be a fucking kid just absorbing stuff and not going outside. That was the big part of that too. Not going to go play sports. You know what I mean?
You didn't like going, you didn't do outside stuff? I loved being outside as a kid.
I mean, I went outside, but I wasn't like, you know, I didn't have like baseball practice and basketball practice and this and that.
I don't know how I did it. There, like, there'd be times where I'd, the final class that I had was,
you're right, Josh.
The final class that I had was athletics and it was baseball in high school. And we would prep for the season, right? So, like, in the winter, we weren't playing games because it wasn't baseball season. Baseball season started in the spring. But my final period was still baseball and, like, athletics. So we're still out there batting practice, doing everything. And that was fine until baseball season started. Because then fucking my final class was, like, I don't know, 1:45 p.m. till 3 p.m., when school ended, and then I'd be in practice from 3 until 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I don't know how I would go home with just layers of fucking dirt on my face because we're just out there in the windy ass RGV and it's 94 degrees outside. I don't know how I did it, dude. My feet would just be super fucked up and all. Oh, it was just terrible, terrible stuff. And I think maybe that's what caused me to have all these bad skin problems. Maybe that's part of it.
Oh, yeah. You should wash your face more, yeah.
But as a kid, I don't know. I didn't know.
I rode
barely started moisturizing as an adult.
You know, summer camp or summer day camp, you know, we're going to the pool every day and doing stuff. But like, I just wasn't the, let's go, you know, we weren't doing the sandlot shit. We did a little bit of street hockey here and there. But, you know, I wasn't moving too much out there.
Now everybody was into it. Everybody had gear. Cause like, I would have loved to have been a part of organized stuff like that. But it's hard to just say, let's go play street hockey. Cause like,
just, you know, it
feels like, let's go play baseball. It's like, well, how the fuck are you? There's three other people on the field. How are you going
to
like,
well, it was the thing where rollerblading was huge. Cause it was really cool. Listen to Nick when he talks shit about it.
Oh, rollerblading was amazing. I love rollerblading.
We all had rollerblades already. And then it's like, you know, you have the one kid who's super into hockey and his family is, and he's got big brothers. So they have multiple sticks. And then you start doing it and you get into it. And then, you know, they're busting out nets. And then you have a stick or two. And then, you know, before you know it, you got a whole team out there or whatever. And this is like, you know, sixth grade summer-ish out there. We're all doing that, right? And then it gets into that, like, that dangerous period where then you take it to school. And then you decide there that you want to use it to fight other people. I remember when we were going to have a street hockey game against a rival in quote school. And I remember like it was just to get in a fight. Like there was no hockey actually going to happen. People just wanted to fight. And so we went there and like literally like you were like brr, and like one thing went and then it was a check and then everybody's just fucking brawling.
There was
you're like kid brawling. It's not like, you know, real brawling.
There was something really special and kind
could have used the kids in this situation.
There was something really special and just like a united sort of feeling you had where even if you and other people from your school didn't get along and maybe you weren't always the best of friends, when you're going against another school, it's like, we're in this together, big dog.
Dude, it's like Survivor Series at WWE. Yeah. Like, these bitter rivalries for fucking years, and all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we got to team up. We're SmackDown. We got to face Raw. We're united front.
Dude.
I love to see it, man.
It's so, it was so cool, and, like, you ended up playing these guys enough to kind of know them personally at times, and... like when that one pitcher struck me out twice and like kind of like fucking eyed me down, and I was like, oh man, I want him again. I want him a fucking again. And we go the next, and then a week later we play him again at our house, and I'm fucking ripping line drives down third base, and I'm going 3 for 5. Oh, what a day! This is the best feeling, dude.
And
fucking loud ass.
That's a good sound. God, I know
that
sound.
Yeah.
In our fourth grade, there was the annual kickball tournament where my elementary school Sutro would go up against George Peabody, the rivals, right? And every single year, our school had won. And we end up going there. I'm extremely excited about this. I, despite what people might think, very active kid, loved all this stuff, very outdoors with all of it. And I was so stoked. I was team captain for this kid.
Wow.
And we had quite the squad, but... Mm-hmm. It was one of those things where everyone had to participate. That was the mandate from up top. You know what I mean? So we were kind of like feeling a little iffy about it because I wasn't so sure how it was going to go. Mm-hmm. But we riled each other up. We were so excited. I'll never forget walking those 6 blocks. We're all chanting shit in unison together, cheering on the streets. Like, we're about to go fuck these people up. They destroyed us. It was not even close at all. I think it was like something like 15-2 or something. And like half of our team crying in tears. And they had to ban it. To this day, they have not done the inter-school thing ever since that, because it was such an embarrassing loss that caused so many tears.
That's unfortunate, because I my experience in high school was the opposite, where our sports was so dominant in Riverside School District that we had rivals, but just for the sake of just clowning them out every single time. Damn, it was North versus Poly, and we used to just fuck Poly up every single thing, every sport. It didn't matter. We just did.
See. That was one of the problems I felt with, you know, going to Catholic school, is that there were other Catholic schools or whatever. I was in the DuPage Parochial League. We were the fifth grade basketball champions. No big deal. But it was like these other schools might as well have been on the fucking moon. Like, it wasn't like we were running into them at the mall often or some shit. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a real rivalry like there was for like Glenbard West and whoever the fuck they didn't like in Glendale. And I don't even know because I wasn't part of that group. But it was that thing of just like, all right, so like, what are you getting hyped for? You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with any of this stuff? And that's why one of the many reasons probably I didn't do any of this shit. You know what I mean?
Also,
I didn't want to run. I didn't want to move.
When you would start flirting with like the girl that went to that school,
well, sure,
and then like you became an item, and then like the other guy from that school hates you, and it's like, oh, I'm going to fucking go 5 for 6 today on the baseball field. Come on. This is a great feeling, dude. You'd see her in the stands, and you'd see the other guy there too, and he'd be in the dugout, and it's like, oh, yeah, dog. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man,
I've announced myself.
Andy, if I had a dollar for every time I'd look across the stands and see, you know, that girl in the other band and then never talk to him because we didn't interact with other bands. Sure. Yeah. I had the opposite experience. We never talked to anyone from other schools ever because of marching band. We just would see him like, we don't give a fuck.
Oh, that's so weird. I feel like it would be really communal when you would go to the big events.
No,
at the big marching band events,
you would sit. You would sit as a unit in the stands. You would go to the bathroom in groups with people. You know, with parents that would like chaperone you back and forth or whatever, and you wouldn't talk to anyone else.
There were no marching band conventions. Everybody gets together, they shop the new marching band tech.
Oh, just the new cool trumpets look like.
Why am I saying all these words weird?
You started really enunciating. I appreciate it. No, unfortunately, which is, it's funny too. Even when we hang out outside of high school, like I had cousins that went to other high schools that dated people from my high school. So I knew it was possible, but I never, like, there was just never an occasion. There was never like an all Riverside dance where you'd meet everyone or anything like that. And I didn't play sports. So you just never got the opportunity to talk to anyone from other high schools.
It was the same thing for us. Yeah. Where I remember when one of our guys' camps, he started dating a girl from another school. And then that led to like Poe dating a girl from another school. And again, this was like
floodgates
people literally being like, this sounds like you just went to fucking Mars. Not even the fact you have a girlfriend kind of thing. You know what I mean? Which is impressive enough in high school. It's just the fact of like, where is this person? It's like my girlfriend in Canada kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're lying.
That's funny because SF is so small, like it being 7 by 7 miles. Sure. And it is so built on public transportation that kids, once they turn like 10 years old, you get a muni pass, and then you're just bopping around the city wherever the hell you want to go. And it's like there is such a sense of community between all the middle schools and specifically high schools, where like you didn't just know people at your high school, you knew people everywhere, and you're going to all the dances, didn't matter which school it was. Rad.
That's pretty cool. That's cool.
Yeah, the only time I ever wanted to go to another school's dance was Bennett, which is like another school in this whole thing. They had a Weezer. They did an Only in Dreams prom. And the only person I knew was Camp Sister. And I was like, get your sister to invite me to prom. And he was like, no, under no circumstances. And then I just never went.
Now, if you had gone
cool, because I wanted that little photo. With the,
if you had gone with her, though, would you have made out with her a little bit?
I mean, I can tell you, no, that would not have happened. I don't think I had this in my toolbox. I don't think I would have been able to escalate to that degree in any way for this girl that I really never talked to. You know what I mean? Like, again, it was also the thing. We were all very siloed.
You didn't have like a crush on this girl or pre
existing. Oh, no. I just barely knew that her and I, she went to that school. I was like,
her to give up one of the most important nights of her young adult life, the prom night, just to take you to an all Weezer.
That's right.
You got
right.
It. That makes sense.
Well, oh, man.
All Weezer is going a little too far, right? I mean, it was just like it said Weezer. It had the Weezer, you know, Only in Dreams. They're going to play it once at the end. It'd be a big deal.
Yeah.
I still have the Alf Dad Google page up.
What happened to him? What is so sad? I put in Alf Dad and it's like, yeah, he looks like an old man. Like, it doesn't look
like he's always looked like an old man, though. Yeah. He's always looked like an old man.
That was his shtick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it just, I don't know. It just looks like he's in a bad place, but he could just be an old guy.
How am I? No, he's dead. He's dead.
The one where he's taking out the trash? Is that what you're looking at? The image?
Yeah, what are you looking at?
Let me see.
He just looks like an old man. There's nothing wrong with
it. He looks, because he looks like Larry David in a lot of ways. Larry David looks like he's...
Kevin, I think you're right. I think you're just
an old man. Andy, put in assets so I can see it.
I have it up now. He's just taking the trash out. He's
yeah,
just
an old that's guy. What I'm looking
he's
at.
He's an old guy, dude.
But I don't know why I expect like a butler to be doing this for him, because he's the Alf Dad.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know. But I don't think his career went that way. I think.
I mean, few people's careers go that way to have a full time butler.
But also, you know, maybe I'm the witness is being led here, because the Daily Mail's article is like, the Alf Dad. Alfad, like, oh, looking disheveled, and so it makes me think like, oh, rude. he's in a bad spot.
This is just like how Elvin Thibodeau,
I remember the character that. I was bring that up.
From the Cosby Show, works at a Trader Joe's, and so somebody took a photo of him, and then was like, man, fucking actor who played Elvin Thibodeau's fault, and it's like, fuck off, he doesn't want to act anymore, and he's got a job. What do you care? And that's also like, I would fucking die. If I find out that like down the street, the fucking Trader Joe's down the road, Elvin Thibodeau works there, I don't even like Trader Joe's. I'd be there on a weekly basis to build up to that relationship where I could talk to him about just like, so hey, and like maybe we get to that point where it's like, you know, we exchange phone numbers or whatever, and like we're just chatting, or I go and I help him, or there's a barbecue or whatever, and then at some point, like, oh yeah, you're on the Cosby Show, that's interesting. Let's talk a little bit about that. That seemed pretty fucking awesome.
You're going like, that's so creepy.
I just want to be his friend.
Yeah,
is that creepy, or is it creepy to be walking by with my fucking knockoff Trader Joe's cereal or whatever the fuck they sell there and be like, oh, by the way, hey, you were Elvin Thibodeau, that's thank great. You.
But this is an Elizabeth Olsen movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. You're talking about building a relationship with someone by hiding the fact that you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. When you it's say exactly it like that, it doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
When you make it sound like Ingrid Goes West, it doesn't sound great.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody, I know we weren't going to talk about this, but I think we are now, just, you know, we're reaching the end of the show. Elon Musk has bought Twitter, and I'm reading this from CNN, and they talk about what he has mentioned to be his plan for the future of Twitter. And he said, Musk wants to make Twitter better than ever by enhancing the product with new features. Wants to enhance the product with new features, making the algorithms open source to increase trust, defeating the spam bots, and authenticating all humans. And then he said, even my worst critics remain on Twitter, because that is what free speech means. I don't think the site could get any worse. I think a lot of the funniest tweets I saw, Greg, were like, what do you mean Twitter's going to be bad now? Like, you call this place a hell site every day.
Yeah.
And like, I think it'll get I think maybe the worst fear is that he will let Trump back in and kind of unban people who have sort of perpetuated hate and stuff like that. But Trump did comment and say, no, I'm sticking with my social media.
Didn't
thing.
He had a speech the other day? He called it the wrong name. You know what the fuck it is? I hear and like, God damn it.
But yeah, this is like this is just kind of unprecedented because like, what is it? What does this mean for people like us who like we do so much business on there? Like, I'm not leaving Twitter. I don't plan on leaving Twitter. I think if I was telling you all before the show started, if I could snap my fingers and make anybody cool, it'd be Elon Musk, and just him be like, yeah, our workers shouldn't be forced to go work at a plant in the middle of COVID. Like, I just want to snap my fingers, just make him a cool dude. But he just has like he's got such a shitty past with
dude energy.
What?
He has uncool dude energy.
Uncool dude energy, yeah. And he started off as such a cool dude because I was like, oh, this guy's like Tony Stark. He's the future. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just I feel like things have just gotten worse and worse, especially with his behavior on Twitter in some instances where he just tweets out like, for example, here we go. They are talking about one of the CEO roles who had taken over Jack Dorsey, Agrawal, I believe is that's the way you pronounce their name. It's unclear whether they will remain in the top job following the takeover. Musk previously tweeted a meme comparing Agrawal to former Soviet leader Joseph Stalin. Like, the dude just seems like a little too unhinged to be like being able to do all this stuff. Like I know we all kind of. We always paint Jeff Bezos as an evil dude because his workers are just never really, it seems, happy. They're always just kind of, you know, there's always leaks about the working conditions at certain Amazon plants. But it's not like Jeff Bezos is out there tweeting awful shit every other day or whatever. But it seems like Musk just has kind of this, I'm a bad boy and there's nothing you can do about it.
He's got that edgelord vibe to him.
And I don't know how, like, it's like, you're a fucking 50-year-old guy, man. Get it together, you know?
Are you guys sure he's not a robot? Because if you read that last line again of what he wants to do with Twitter, Andy, read it one more time.
What, defeat the spam bots?
No,
the or one authenticate right all humans?
Authenticate all humans. Like, doesn't it sound like the most robot, like, from a future robot shit ever? You're like, but that's not how humans talk, man. We call each other people, homie.
It sounds like a good thing, though. Because, like, if that ends up actually happening, what he's saying is verifying humans. And then it's, like, holding people accountable for actually being who they are so people aren't anonymous. That would be awesome. Is it going to end up being that? I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah. I mean, the big question is, like, can he actually do anything? Or is he just inheriting the same problems that the people who have run Twitter over the last 10, 15 years are inheriting, right? That's my thing is, like, all Elon Musk just kind of gets himself into these things and figures it out later. But it's a hard thing to moderate. And I don't know that they've done a great job of it up until this point. Getting rid of spam bots, getting rid of, like, verifying people. Yeah, that all sounds great. But I don't know that. I mean, I don't know that he's going to do any better of a job. And first off, I don't think he's going to be CEO. I think he's putting someone else in charge, right? So I don't know how much hands-on he's going to have with Twitter. But I mean, Andy, it's funny you say it's unprecedented. It's not millionaires, billionaires, tycoons buying news outlets throughout the years.
So Bezos really, Post, right?
Yeah, Bezos owns the Washington Post. I mean, Hearst was you know synonymous with being corrupt. Murdoch. It's all these people who just want to help because you know when you have control over a platform that has hundreds of millions of people on it, like, you can control the dissemination of information or misinformation depending on what you're doing. And that's what's so scary about this stuff. But I mean, it's not to say that people that ran Twitter beforehand weren't billionaires with an agenda or millionaires with an agenda anyway. So I don't
100%.
Know. 100%. And at that's the biggest. Know the face of it now. I mean, Jack Dorsey was a face of it before, but like, he's been highly criticized as well. So
Yeah, I was gonna say he's been gone for a while, right? And then, yeah, like, you're talking about everything you're running through in terms of who owns what and whatever, and you know, YouTube and every other in Facebook with Meta Zuckerberg. Yeah. And I was like, why am I struggling there and shit like that? Like, I don't know. Like, this is, you know, before we went live, we were having this conversation of like, oh, this is gonna happen or it's not gonna happen, blah, blah, blah. And it was that thing of just like, I was like, but why do people hate him again? Like, I needed to be, it's one of those things where it's always been to me, not always, I guess, but from when I look in on an Elon Musk thing every so often, I'm like, yeah, he seems like an asshole. Like when he was doing the trying to save the people and he called that one guy a pedo or whatever for no reason. Like, that's a fucking weird flex or whatever. And like, I Googled, like, you know, why do people hate him? Oh, you're Tango. And here's like the 15 reason why. And it's all like, yeah, like, oh yeah, there's the pedo thing of why he hates him.
It's mostly just shitty responses to other people's tweets.
Totally. Basically. Misinformation about coronavirus, calling it the coronavirus pandemic is dumb on March 6, 2020. You know, college is a waste of time. He's taking advantage of his workers, manipulating the cryptocurrency market. Neuralink, his company Neuralink, was involved with accused of animal cruelty. People alleged his relationship with Grimes was abusive. Number 11, he compared Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to Adolf Hitler. 12, he's close with Kanye West. That's a weird one. Number 13, he's made comments.
Wow.
Number 14, he also really seems to hate. He also seems to really hate public transportation. And then he gets away consequence free for most of his actions or whatever. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
What you got, Kev?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just saying he doesn't seem like a great person. Like, there's a bunch of things, and like I've known people who, like, their siblings have been his assistant, and like from the stories they tell, like, he seems very unhinged and not all there. Brilliant, but also kind of scary, you know. And
sort of the portrait of a brilliant but sociopathic human being.
I feel like his tweets totally follow that too, where it's like, yeah, he like called out this dude and called him a pedo, and it was like, I don't think there's ever been any proof that this guy, like, all he was doing was he was hanging around in Thailand and I think he
had to do like an apology or an attraction for that one. Free
speech.
I think he got sued.
Yeah, I think that one ended up being really bad for him. That was definitely one of those situations where it's like his ego got bruised because they were like, dude, butt out, we got this, and he's like. And he just,
the robot would never work. And he was like, fuck you, my robot would never work.
Yeah, I'll show you. And it's totally that terrible character.
Right? So many people, I remember for him and Bezos, somebody be like, y'all think these guys are going to be Tony Stark, but they're all way closer to Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, did you guys watch, and it's, you know, it's not my personal favorite movie, but Don't Look Up with the guy from Ready Player One who plays the sort of, not Tim Cook, jeez.
Steve Jobs.
Thank you. Steve Jobs-esque character who you're like, yes, guys, get to, he just seems so sure of himself. And then at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you fucked everything up. Like, nothing worked the way it was supposed to. And that's, I mean, Andy, to your original point, it's like, that's what you kind of, your original hope when Elon Musk sort of started really making a name for himself with that, he would be that guy where he's just like, I'm just going to use my advanced intellect to solve the world's problems. But it turns out he's human like the rest of us and just is falling prone to being catty and being kind of shitty and like just realizing at one point that he's worth $200 billion. And that is such a fucking mind boggling number to have as a net worth that it's got to do something to your brain. That's different than how my brain functions. Right.
Yeah. It's just like, it just feels like somebody wanted to buy a new toy. And Twitter's this new toy that he wants.
Yeah. Think about that.
Right? Twitter's new, but just like, yeah, fuck it. Here's $54 billion. Why not? Yeah, I'll just put that on the card. You know, it's like, it's such a, I don't know why, because it's Elon Musk and because of the behavior we see from him on Twitter, it feels like such an unhinged decision. Like,
well, it's because that's the only purpose of it. But that's the thing, is like, all of this is just a response to him, the whole board situation that they had going on. And now this is like, oh, no. Okay, well, fuck you. I'm just going to buy it. You know, it's like not even that he wanted the toy necessarily. It's the fact that people told him he couldn't have the toy the way he wanted. So now it's like, you know what? I'm going to fucking give you an offer that you can't refuse because it is so ridiculously insane. And that is what, going back to Andy, what you're saying about this being unprecedented. It is that level of sheer reasoning of this all happening, of not being just to have control over something. It is above that even, where it's like, oh, control. Yeah, that's one thing. I can fucking get that any chance I want or at any time for anything, really, because I have that much money. But I'm just going to fucking do it. Like, Twitter has so much power. Like, it's different even than like Fox News or than so many media things. It is the modern version of that, where so many people are empowered in different ways because of it. Like, you can't just turn it off and be like, oh, Twitter doesn't exist anymore. It's like, turn on any news channel and they are talking about tweets. Tweets are the news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Twitter's also like, I guess, the only place where I can see pro and positive and negative tweets about Tesla or about Hyperloop or about any of the things that he does. And you hear things about shadow bans and you kind of start to wonder, like, will I start to see negative things about the things that Elon Musk ever does? Because I feel like Twitter can sometimes, I like to look at all the different tweets that people put out about the tech that he's doing, and how sometimes people that are even really critical of him can say, no, actually, this thing is actually doing pretty well. Or no, that Hyperloop thing is actually a gigantic waste of time and resources and tax dollars and everything like that. But I wonder if that information will in any way kind of start to go away at any point. Like, where will I get news about that aside from like normal sites, I guess? But I feel like Twitter has just kind of become a news feed for so many people. I put a tweet in assets and it's just like,
oh yeah,
this guy's the owner of Twitter now, and obviously Tesla and other gigantic, really important companies. But it's just like, it's so bizarre.
And dunking on Bill Gates, yeah, because Bill. And this, I heard that this was, I think he even talked about it. It was because Bill Gates was shorting Tesla stock, and like he got mad about that.
So then he started it just says this war. He needs to lose a boner fast, and it's a picture of Elon or Bill Gates, like. What, this dude's like 50 something years old, man. What is, I don't know. It's just, it's, I think he's like just so bizarre, and I don't know what the future holds for a lot of the things that he runs. Obviously, he's more rich than any of us can ever comprehend, but I don't know. It's just so puzzling.
Yeah.
50, he's 50 years old. Yeah, I just had to verify.
That's wild. See, again, another one of those things where I'm like, I would have pegged him older just because I'm like, in my brain, not to bring it back to our original topic, but I'm 42. I'm like, I got 8 more years to get $200 billion in the bank.
Like, I'll get there.
Gotta put him out there.
Any second now.
Maybe like 70 or 80.
Yeah, you talk about that. You know, I got confirmed or whatever today, this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Also happening right now, Mark Hamill had quote tweeted somebody who's like, I just lost 2,000 followers. Anyone else losing followers? And Hamill says, weird. I just lost more than 8,000 followers in the last couple hours. Was it something I said? To which the one and only Gary Witter responded, said, happening to many, prevailing theories that is people canceling their accounts following the Musk buyout. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the actual reaction is, or what the actual action is, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right now, obviously, the reaction, especially in our communities, has been people being pissed off about it. And then I've seen more the, if you're leaving, be careful of this, but then quickly follow up, I'm not leaving. Like, I need it for my job. I need it for this. I need it for the communities I've built here, the good things that I've had, but it sucks that this is happening. But I think it's more of a knee-jerk reaction right now of people who are thinking about quitting or leaving or whatever, and then I'll be interested to see if Twitter actually changes in enough that would keep them away, or if they'll come back. I think it'd be easier if there was a number two. If there was like, oh, right, Twitter sucks, but what was that one that they had one that, a long time ago with an E that almost happened? Or Elo. But Elo's right there, and it was that close. And it's like, no, I've seen Mastodon go around a lot today, and I've looked into it. And I'm very confused as to what Mastodon is. This is an amazing Photoshop here of Tim with many chains on.
That's what you could look like, Tim.
Did you do that, Nick?
No.
No, this is Joshy G.
Oh, no. Good job.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I very seldom interact with Twitter, if not just to go on and like retweet people, all of our friends' stuff, that things they're doing. So I think it's one of those things where, you know, if what he's promising is the actual truth, and he said, I'm like, I'm not going to take any of my detractors off of this. Like, maybe.
But again, it gets weird when he starts talking about free speech, which is like, well, so what does that mean? Right? Like, it's what we're talking about before, where it's like before, you know, with like bouncing Trump or whatever, it was like, well, you're being a hateful person giving out a lot of misinformation, like,
right,
get the fuck out of here, you know what I mean? Like, well, free speech, well, this isn't actually free speech. Is very much a specific thing to you being the United States of America and being able to talk in you know, these in public or whatever. This isn't what this is. This is a private corporation. And so again, like, for him to own it now and have it, what does that mean to him, and what does free speech, I mean, we'll have to wait and see on all this stuff to see what his actual involvement is.
Very, very, very interesting, but and scary. We'll see.
It's one of those, you know, if I'm a betting man right now, I don't think much is going to change. Like, I don't know. I hope I'm right when I think of the bad stuff. I hope I'm wrong in terms of what the good stuff could be if you made Twitter better or whatever. But again, to the point, like, Twitter still is a place you turn on. You, hey, everybody, we put up this cool video, and the responses are mostly positive, and then a bunch of people who are assholes that I then mute or whatever and don't see them again. Like, it's like, to the point Andy brought up at the very, very top, right? Of like, people call Twitter a hellscape all the time and bitch about Twitter all the time. I love Twitter. Don't get me wrong. Like, lots of bad parts of Twitter, lots of shitty people on Twitter. But when you cultivate what you follow and who you follow and why and get it down to what you want Twitter to be, I think it's a good place.
It's weird because I've just never seen him outspoken or have a public problem with the issues that he says he's trying to fix. Like, if he had been talking about the issues that Twitter has had for a long time about, you know, bots and about, you know, anti-spam and all that. It just seems like these are just kind of convenient things to throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly I'm going to buy this company. But it's like, why did you really buy it? Aside, like, you know, to make more money, obviously. But I haven't seen you ever have an issue with the things that you're claiming are the things you want to fix. Like, he's just...
Yeah, it seems like you're doing pretty okay on Twitter.
He just always kind of just posts whatever the fuck he wants. And it's always stupid-ass memes that, you know, of 12-year-old would post. I don't really see... I've never seen him have issues like that or with those things that he's claiming he wants to fix. So it's just kind of weird that it seems like that was just sort of shoehorned in. And by the way, I'm fixing these things. It's like, I mean, not to say that those aren't problems, but it's not like you've ever had an issue with them before.
Mm.
But we'll goddamn, Twitter is a place for his fans. Holy shit. There are some people that idolize this dude and I do not understand it. I do not understand idolizing rich people that do not give a fuck about your existence. It's so bizarre. It's so bizarre.
Yeah. I think it's like living vicariously through someone, though, right? You see this person accomplishing these things and you go, I'm going to champion them no matter what. And that's really what at the heart of like people's reservations are, right? When we're talking about Twitter, we're not just talking about Twitter. We're talking about just everything online is how do you cull through and how do you figure out what's real and what's, to use the term, misinformation, right? Like, and that's what I think Twitter's really, during COVID specifically, made a, you know, strides to really crack down on and be like, hey, no, like, we really need to try our best to put out factual evidence and have disclaimers on things that are COVID related, or at least send links to other things, which is great. Yeah. And I don't know what he's planning to do, if anything, in that regard, to dial that back. But my hope is that he keeps going forward with it and figures out a better system for it, because we desperately need that. We need to be able to have at least a baseline of what we all agree on is the truth about a subject. And that needs to be flexible. And that's really where freedom of speech comes in, where people should be able to disagree with you, but they should not be able to disagree with you without having some level of factual evidence to the contrary of your point. And then you should be open to that. And that's how it's supposed to work. But it very often does not work that way. And like, and that, if memory serves correctly, was one of the big, you know, hubbubs with Facebook, and Zuckerberg got in trouble for that back in the day, or not even that far back in the day, like 4 or 5 years ago, with all the Senate hearing stuff, right? Where people were like, what are you doing about like all of these bots coming in and like spreading random fucking information about shit and like, and rebel rousing? He's like, I don't know, you know, got to figure it out.
Yeah. It incentivizes fake bullshit, because like, yeah, that's the stuff that is most shared and most spread and all that. But it's like, you look at Twitter and it's like, there's been such a change in things with the misinformation when it comes to even things like celebrity deaths. Back in the day, it'd be like, you see somebody died and it's just like, you just kind of believe it until you hear otherwise, and then it would just turn into a whole fucking thing. Nowadays it's like, you might see something that somebody RIP whatever, but it takes one click to click on it and see whatever Twitter trends is talking about. And like, the real information will be there. Mm-hmm. Like the facts about celebrity deaths are now found out immediately. And it's like, you know, if you're getting bamboozled.
Yeah. Well, who was it? Who was the one that was the most recent one? Where he's like, I can assure you I'm still very much alive. I can't remember what it was, but
Ian McKellen, was it?
Was it Ian McKellen? Oh, that might have been. What a baller ass thing to be able to say. No, guys, I'm still alive.
Still here.
Still here, guys. Don't
Nick,
worry
you
about
say
it.
The word, we will fake your death. We will all tweet that you're dead.
And then I don't want to, because my fear, if I'm being honest,
sure,
is that the reaction won't be as grand as I had always hoped it would be.
Sure.
Right. I feel like it'll be.
And you get to witness it in full.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, do you really want to see who shows up to your funeral, or who called in, you know, or who's like, I just can't, guys, it's on a Tuesday, I can't, sure, I got a thing,
sure, yeah,
I got work, it's a, well, I put it at 5:30, so you guys get out of work, get by. Oh, it's not enough time for me to get from here to the down the block. Andy, I put it at the shrimp restaurant down the block.
I'm working at KFAF episode.
I can't do it, man, I'm sorry. And why I lost,
yeah, we canceled that show. Show's gone.
And this will be the final thing, we can get the post show after this, but it's been a long time I've ever talked about it before, but I drew this comic strip in college in the student newspaper or whatever, Adventures of Gary and Quinn. It was very well received. It was great. One of the best comics of all time.
People
But the way it went is that I did it the first semester and it was going to be, they paid me there, you know, there, it was a paying gig. I was like so stoked about it, cause it wasn't gonna be a lot of money, but it would be enough to, you know, buy some beer or whatever on the weekends. And I was pretty stoked about that. But so when I went to get paid or whatever, like, all right, cool, you need to, you know, bring your social security card to get registered. And I was like, oof, it's a lot of work. I don't have that with me. You know what I mean? That's up in Illinois and I'm here in Missouri or whatever. And my parents had split up. So there was like, where, who has this social security card? And I was like, you know what? And I just never, ever registered. I just did the comic for free for an entire semester. Right. And then I had to take a semester off to go do my, like, you know, whatever job work for the paper or whatever while I was still in school. And so I couldn't do it. And when I came back, I made a point to get a social security card. And this time I was like, I'm going to do this comic again. And I'm going to get fucking paid. And so I did it. But the problem was my heart wasn't in it. So I really have to ask the second semester of the thing, right, where I wasn't even drawing as much anymore. I was kind of like, you know, typing, and I was like typing and doing visual gags and stuff.
At this point, it's just like, it's not fun. It's for the, when it's for the dollar, Greg, it's like, it's
exactly, you know, it's no longer art for me or whatever. And so one point what had happened is I forget what happened. Maybe it was miscommunication on their part, but I think it was just me. I think I fucked up and didn't give them a comic. So they ran an old comic. And so then what I thought would be hilarious, and it was, but what I thought would be hilarious was, you know, it was Tuesday, Thursday, I think. And I'm sorry if I'm getting this wrong, Maneater paper. Maybe it was Monday, Friday. I forget what it was anymore. But there was two a week. So I missed the first one of the week. And so the second one, what I did is I did the same thing with like the, I did just a black comics strip, like all black and then white text. And it was that, you know, hey, we missed the, you might've noticed we ran an old comic strip on the beginning of the week. It was because a friend of mine died. And I was like, Kellen Huffman died or whatever. And I put a little photo of him. And Kellen Huffman didn't die. He was an antler. And so I just faked his death in the student paper. He went to Mizzou. He was an antler. He was one of our friends or whatever. And I didn't tell him. And then I just published this. And then like people were calling his mom because he's from small town Missouri or whatever.
What
like,
is
like,
wrong with
the word got you, there or whatever. The antlers, we all thought it was hilarious. And we made
what
shirts.
Is wrong with dead. You?
We all it's really fucking funny. Shirts. It was really funny. And he didn't get that mad about it. He wasn't mad about it.
He didn't get like, that mad.
You know what I mean? But it was, I think it confused some people in his classes too, that like this kid, they knew that he was dead, but then he was showing up to classes.
That is so fucked up.
Because you have to think about it this way, right? Like, this is one of the, I mean, for all the drawbacks with social media and Twitter, one of the benefits is that information, like when there is a correction, can circulate very quickly. There's probably people in this kid's life that still think he's dead.
Well, no, because then the next comic I did, I introduced Zombie Huffman. I mean, it's not that I didn't retract that he was dead, but I made it very clear.
What?
First off, who's breaking news in comic strips about people dying in the University of Missouri? Nobody, all right? This
I
mean, was
I don't know how
this
how
is
Missouri
like
Andy Kaufman
level humor. This
that
is
sounds
Andy
like the type
Kaufman.
Of thing. That they would be like, oh, what a nice tribute. This is a tribute to a kid that really died. Otherwise, they wouldn't make a joke like this about a kid.
The better question is, what kind of a psychopath would make a joke about that in a college comic?
It was a slow burn to then Zombie Huffman, which I think lasted one strip. All right. So, like, that's but there was badass. A thing there. There was a narrative there. All right, everybody. I didn't just do it for no reason and the t-shirt that I wanted to wear. Man, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table. Each coming to talk shit and hang out. Will we ever fake one of our deaths? Maybe it'll be Nick. You have to check. You know what I mean? You have to keep your eyes peeled at Nick's Twitter.
Probably me for real.
If you want to be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write in to be part of the show like Madeline did. And you could also be live in the chat to watch us record the post show that you can also get on demand on patreon.com/kindoffunny as an MP3 or YouTube video. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week for a brand new episode. Of course, you get ads, you can't write in, and you're not getting the post show, but it's no big deal. You still have fun. You still get to hang out. Yeah. We talk to you while you do your FedEx shift. You hang out, deliver UPS stuff. You have a great time. For now, we have a post show to do. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.